This podcast is brought to you by WCR FM in Wolverhampton.
Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in partnership with WCR FM, which you can hear on 101.8 FM via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCR FM. And now, of course, across the city of Wolverhampton on DAB Digital Radio as well. In this episode, we hear from Simon Clark and Prince Robinson, who are community chefs, originally working in the WV10 area, but now across the city. First of all, I asked Simon how he became a community chef in the first place.
I started off really facilitating different sessions, arts, crafts, and I was looking for ideas of what could be done. And then someone asked me about, could I provide cooking sessions?
Right.
And I had a passion for cooking, but I wasn't a chef as such. No. But I got invited to a course called Let's Get Cooking.
Yeah.
And they started doing that in the schools. So then I started just falling into more and more sessions per week. It started off two or three and then just got bigger and bigger.
Right.
And then there's more of a need for it in certain areas as well. So it was cooking in different, basically community centres and then schools as well.
Prince, what about you?
So I've spent 11 years as a chef from chef, a line chef, up into head chef.
Right.
Kitchen
so you're
manager.
A proper chef, you know.
No. Well, not as proper as you can be.
But you both come to a community work, but you come from the kind of trained background. Simon, you've come from the
teaching
background as well, you know. But you've
so both works together, both
come kind into of the like same, in together, the same place. What do you enjoy most about the community aspect, Prince?
I think, like being within the community and meeting new people every day and being able to provide a service that can, you know, change someone's life. I think that's the best part.
Is that the big difference from when you were, you know?
Yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah.
When you're running around the kitchen stressed as anything, it's completely different.
I get stressed watching, you know, Australian MasterChef. So, I've actually, what stresses me, because I had an hibachi for Christmas. You know, the little indoor barbecue is the best way of describing it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've yet to use it without setting off the smoke and the fire alarms. Because
do
when
you think the ether is sending you a sign there, Chris?
Well, I
stay out of the kitchen.
No.
Stay away from hot utensils.
I'm okay. You know, I can cook at home. I wouldn't ever dare take it out and not cook with royalty, as these two guys have done. We'll come back to that in a moment or two's time. But Simon, in terms of working with the community, I've seen you working down there with the community again. What drives you forward?
I think it is helping, supporting people, and it's just the knowledge that you have can be passed on, and it's simple things, really. It's simple, easy recipes, nothing too hard. So it's passing that knowledge on that you've got.
Yeah.
And hopefully people copying it, especially when I do the after-school clubs and you're teaching the younger generation as well, so that also comes into play. So it's the satisfaction of all that, really.
And you're taking a lot of the mystery out, perhaps, of cooking, a lot of the fear out of cooking?
No, I agree on that. And it's the simple things, using the right ingredients. And it's not, like I said, I'm not taught as a chef. I call myself more of a facilitator. I'm more of a session provider.
Right.
I think it works well because I don't get flustered with the amount of people we have to deal with.
Yeah.
And I think as much as we set off them sessions, the people coming to them actually create the sessions. We just stand back and let them get on with it and feed each other information.
Right.
So it's not necessarily all us. It's the people that meet each other at these sessions.
And Prince, you're nodding away there in agreement with that one.
Yeah, 100%. I think obviously that it's for them. So, I mean, like within the community, it's kind of they give us a lot of information as well, like, so they say, oh, this is how we do things, and it's like saying, because we're professionals, that this is the right way. It's you know,
we get taught as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, we're in difficult time, we've been in difficult times. A lot of this idea came out of COVID, you know, when I know WV10 Consortium particularly was supporting people around the city. One of their great ideas was the whole treat and chat, when they realised, food's important, but also people are isolated, therefore having a chat with them when you deliver that treat around there as well. So working with people, but now other people are dropping into this vulnerability with cost of living. So it's not just those who've lived in poverty most of their lives, it's people who, for whom poverty, struggling to put food on the table, is a brand new thing.
And
you're working with some of these. Do you hear those kind of stories?
Yeah, quite. Even people at work, you know, like people at work, a normal 9-to-5, they're struggling just as much as people that are unemployed. So it's not just people that are unemployed that are struggling, it's everyone as a whole. So it's being able to provide them a service as well.
Right. And Simon, any particular people you've worked with that have you've inspired you? You just remember, you know, got any stories of maybe young people or...
Well, they looked after children. They're the ones, really, who haven't got the greatest respect. They're the ones that, I think, get the most from the sessions, yeah, yeah. I see. Because they obviously have had no one to show them how to cook. So it's not all necessarily to do with poverty. It's just not having the knowledge. Right. And it's also just looking for... So they'll do some batch cooking. So yeah. They'll put it away, go home, put it in the freezer, and they've got that next week. Right. So there's that. So, you know, they've got food that night, yeah, rather than just eating a bag of crisps or whatever they've been given.
Yeah,
it's not so much being given it for free, it's learning how to do it all.
And also being dependent on takeaways because, you know, the chippy, because, again, that's expensive, not always that healthy.
We still do the fakeaways, though. We still do that, so there'll be healthier versions of them. Yeah. So we still do that. And to be honest, on some of the courses we do a 6 week, we do have a treat where it will be the fakeaway week because, yeah, you know...
I made myself a fakeaway last night.
Yeah, yeah, so it's
did
nice
you?
To have
what
a treat.
Did you have?
I made a lamb vindaloo.
What was fake about it?
It was just not a takeaway. No, it's just you make it at home, And I'm trying to teach myself different ways of cooking. But what Simon and Prince were saying there, what you were saying there earlier, Kirsty, about the whole learning at school is gone. So these guys are filling that vacuum.
But some people, as Simon was saying there, some people don't have family support to, you know, they don't have the gran showing them how to make pastry and apple pies that we all grew up with. And there's a bit of coconut there and a bit that will make a coconut cake or coconut pyramids. I can remember my nan making jam tarts out of bits that she'd left over and apple turnovers. If you don't grow up with that, or say someone's ill in the family and the rest of the family are taking care of that person, the adult, the child is left on their own, and it's just have those crisps, have something quick. So if they can learn to make something that is wholesome, because obviously if we keep ourselves healthy, it makes it better for the community because there's less costs.
Budgeting and buying and knowing what food to get, that can have a big impact on, first of all, your confidence to cook, but also and saving money as well, can't it?
Oh, of course it can. I mean, planning the food is essential, isn't it, really? So what we try to do with the sessions I do, I try and do like a list of recipes, a list of ingredients, but then I can use that list of ingredients and then cook something different each time.
Right.
So I will plan that. So you could buy that on Monday and the next Monday I'd buy the same thing but cook something different. So it'll be showing ingredients, but four different ways of cooking it. So, yeah, that's all part of my planning anyway. So.
And you talked there about the batch cooking as well. So if you're helping people to learn that way that they can cook a couple of meals at the same time, you freeze one.
Yeah, of course. I mean, just the cooking off your carrots, celery, onions and mince, and then keeping that and then changing that to whatever you want. Lasagna, meatballs, just loads of different things you can go into, isn't there?
Is your approach the same, Prince, in terms of your planning? Because planning, I suppose, is an important thing in catering, in cooking, in being a chef, which most of us just think, what have we got in? I'll throw this together now, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same, but I do more of, like, say, Caribbean dishes.
Yeah.
So a lot of the seasonings or vegetables, they're kind of the same. So we do like brown stewed chicken, coconut curry chicken, and it's using pretty much the same ingredients as well. But
I've been here since half past six.
Delicious. I know what Simon's on about. You know, you get your veg and you do bolognese, or you can make it to lasagna, or you do shepherd's pie or something else.
Chili,
but coconut. I'm getting peckish now. It's nearly 12:30 and I'm starving.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I didn't get me porridge between the two shows today. That's what's throwing me. And you had the chance to cook for royalty. There you go. You know.
Well, we got them to cook for us.
Oh, that was it. I knew the twist. The Duke and Duchess of Edinburgh came to the Big Venture Centre on the Scotlands a while ago now. But it was a day also when, you know, somebody you've worked with for a number of years, Karen Traynor, was given her MBE there. She chose to have it that day in front of all the community as well. But what sort of, do you get any comments back from the royal couple when they were doing the cooking there? Did they find it easy? Were they naturals?
I believe so. They were, I'd say they were. They got stuck in. They did, I think they did some mini banoffee pies and mini cheesecakes. Yeah, they got involved.
Right. And the salt and chilli chicken noodles as well.
Right, okay. So they did, you know, it's a bit just a rumour that all the servants do it for them. You know, it's just...
No, it looks like they get stuck in as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like they've kind of done it before. It wasn't their first time, so...
And what do you think that kind of event did for the community members who were there that day, seeing that happening? How do you think that made them feel, Prince?
To be honest, I think it was a surreal day that, you know, seeing like a royal presence within the Scotlands is not something you would see every day. So I think it kind of like, you know, everyone was kind of quite relaxed. I would have thought they would have been more, you know, quite nervous, but they was having conversations with everyone and it was, yeah, it was just a good day.
Their naturals, your memories of it? Panicking? Yep. Were you nervous?
No, I can't really remember now.
I've never known you nervous in your life. That's why.
No, it was. I think it was fine. I think I was a bit bullshitting. I said, "Get your aprons on, come on, crack on." Yeah. So it was that kind of approach, and I think they enjoyed that anyway. So no. It went down well.
No, well, that, you know, that's what they wanted. That's what we're there for, and that was excellent as well. Now. We're talking about going back to COVID earlier, and we learned lessons through COVID. And one of the things was supporting the community around the WV10 area. I know they did a lot of work. They got the cookbook, which I've got over here on the morning show, which I'm covering over about a month or so. We're doing a 10:30 recipe there. Again, it's simple ingredients, but it still can be nutritious, can't it? How do you balance out what you should have in a meal?
Oh, that's a good question.
What's the key ingredients in terms of your carbs, your protein, your vegetables and the like?
Well, you'd always have your veg going in there. I mean, we're very helpful with having the community shop because they obviously got the vegetables in there that we also take from them. So we change it weekly, seasonally, obviously. And then it just depends on... I try and do a few vegetarian dishes to mix it up because cost-effectively it can be cheaper.
Yeah.
So it's not all necessarily all about we've got to have meat and two veg. You've got to balance it all out.
Yeah.
So what, especially when you've got families, you've got two or three different children who've all got different tastes. So it's working that combination out.
Right.
Really.
And Prince, you know, Caribbean cooking, is it well balanced, you say, or do you have to balance it yourself?
No, it is well, because we make sure, obviously, we don't use a lot of oil, so we make sure we minimise that. The seasonings, we try and make sure that they're not full of salt and sodium and stuff like that as well, so we're making sure it's healthy. And as well, like you say, adding more vegetables, using, you know, good proteins, not too much fats, and, you know, trying to keep it at the budget at the same time, so...
So is this going back to what Kurt was saying earlier about education? Is that what we're talking about? You're talking about you signing up as an enabler, your training, and therefore if we could just get everybody getting the opportunities that you're providing, then people would really be able to eat better but also eat cheaper?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we do some after-school clubs as well, so we do get the attention of the children and we try and teach them what we can there as well.
And do they love it?
Yeah. I mean, we do have to get their attention, so we will do baking now and again, so but there's always food provided for them when they're there as well.
Right.
And we'll always have fruit and that for them as well. So, yeah, it's teaching the children as well, mainly, I would say. Almost bypassing.
You're right.
Bypassing it almost. And just going straight to the children. So
we seem to have lost a generation who can cook. So now we've got to reinforce it back with the youngsters. But as you say, you know, people are working longer hours. Yep. They don't have the time to cook or the energy to cook or maybe the means. And if you've got the after-school clubs, at least you know they've got a decent hot meal
That's what we try and provide. So
because that might be the only hot meal they get.
Exactly. Or make sure there's plenty of food for them. And if they want, there's always something there for them to eat. But we'll always do something where they're learning and especially getting involved. And what we try and do as a parent and the child, so they're working together. So it's not just to drop the children off. The parents are there as well. Right. And they're part of it as well. So you kind of... they come in and then you send them away to their table and then they work together. Right. So maybe the children are teaching the parent. I don't know.
The very thing that was going through my head then. And have you seen something similar yourself, Prince, with families working together? And again, the holiday activities, having food within there as well has been a key part of it, thanks to Marcus Rashford. They forgot his name then. You know, and that whole initiative there, I was saying this nutritious aspect is really important.
Yeah, it is. Of course it is. And it's like Simon says, feeding it to, you know, and showing the younger generation it, you know, because then they might say to the parents, oh, shouldn't we be having some vegetables on the side of that? Or, you know, just little things like that. And it will make a difference because then, you know, a lot of the parents might then think, you know what? Yeah, we do need to start incorporating that into the dishes that we probably wouldn't before.
And that's a change, isn't it? You know, I've just, the stories are when you had to hide the vegetables inside things as well, and sort of say, you know, you tell your kids lies, you know. Oh, that, no, that's just orange potato. No, it's not carrot, really. You know, and all that kind of thing that we didn't done as parents just to try to get them to eat food. Maybe my kids are different to yours.
My upbringing was, this is the meal you've got. You either eat it or there's toast.
Yeah.
And I tried to say to my son, we didn't have cooked meals every day.
Right.
There wasn't the budget in the 70s. Food was high. It was a high cost like it is now.
Yeah.
And then as we got more wealthy in the 80s and 90s, it was more fast food, more foods in the supermarkets, easy, zip, you know, ping, what I call microwave meals. So you didn't have to cook. It was, you know, convenience food. And now we've come back again full circle where actually things are tight, so you've got to make the budget last for the whole week, and some people run out halfway through the week, and it's just that process of education.
We were talking a little bit there about that kind of economy of scale of your herbs and your spices. Prince, you'll use a lot of that, really, in the... I know you do as well, Simon. I'm not going to say you don't cook without herbs and whatever. But again, within the Caribbean cooking, again, you can spend a fortune just on those bits, can't you, if you're not careful?
Yeah, you can. It's just finding which ingredients will have maximise the flavour, but at the same time, so you're just using, say, a tablespoon or something, so you're not going over the board and spending so much money, because it can get expensive.
Yeah, so you can, you know, just follow the recipe.
Yeah,
use
just
what
follow,
you need.
Yeah, follow the recipe and utilise the ingredients, so you're maximising the flavour.
Yeah.
You know.
And in terms of people learning, food hygiene, a key part of it, and also you're doing training courses around that now, Simon? Enabling people.
We're enabling, yeah, basically, at some of the centres now, we're providing with laptops where we can set them up doing the food hygiene online.
Yeah.
There's access to the laptops there. There's on the sessions we do on a Tuesday, Wednesday, there'll be 10 laptops set up. So if anyone was ever wanted to do that, they just go along and sit and do that after their cooking lesson.
Right. So we're talking here around WV10 area.
Yeah, this particular one, yeah. Yeah. But it is possible with other centres that we can do that as well.
Yeah, yeah. So people to find out, you know, and obviously you can learn online. You can do that online now as well. Right. What does the future hold? I know you've been out filming. There's a book on the way. Tell us about your filming story, Simon. Where have you been filming?
I can't remember what it's called now. Is it Pocket to Plate?
Yes.
Yes, so Wolverhampton Council are doing this project called Pocket to Plate, where I think they want to do three or four dishes by ourselves and Mitch Lane. And they're going to do, I think it's one video a month. We did some over Christmas, what to do with leftovers from Christmas Day, where we had I think you did a curry, did you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Leftover sausage roll, professive sausage roll. That went online through Wolverhampton, they did that. We've got the book where the recipes are all coming together now. We're also, I think there's more, we're getting busier. The diary seems to be getting busier, filling up. So, we're everywhere at the moment. It seems like we are, anyway. And I think some people still don't really know about it. So I think you can get in contact with through WV10 Consortium and get more information through them.
Well, no, you know, we'll be hearing later on in the show from Mitch and from others around what's gone on down in the community hub. So this coming together, Prince, really, now you've got the cooking, but you've also got the community shops along there as well, haven't you? So you've got almost like helping people to shop, but also then helping people to use the food.
Yeah, so we've got the community shops on site, not in all the centres, but like Simon says, they're slowly becoming more available.
Yeah.
So anybody needs any ingredients, fresh produce, anything like that, they'll be able to access that. You know, on the day of the cooking, or even, you know, just a normal day, you know, you want to go shopping, why not use the community shop?
Indeed.
You know, they've got everything that you need there. You know, you don't need to go to Asda, Aldi, Sainsbury's, just go and use the community shop and get to know people, speak to people.
And that's an important part of the great thing about community shops, and you become a member of it.
Yeah.
And then you get to know people. I'm sure you got your own little community popping into the big venture.
Oh, yeah, the venture. Yeah, there's also, when you go to the venture for the ideas, they keep recipes on the wall as well, so to give people ideas. I think the community shops are good, where they also do, I think a few of them do, where they do meal deals, and they can plan the meal for you, and you've got that sorted for the night. So it'll be your veg, meat, sauce, and it's all reasonably good price.
You're just making me absolutely starving. I'm just sitting here, my tummy's rumbling as we're talking about this. Thank you both for coming in. Really appreciate you both coming in. And we'll look out for the YouTube channel that's coming forward. We'll look out for the other ways as well. And we're going to be, through the week on the morning show, enjoying other recipes about 10:30 each day, where people can have a nice budgeted meal. But actually, it's nutritious and very tasty as well. So thank you both for coming in.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We'll catch you again soon.
That was Simon Clark and Prince Robinson, community chefs in Wolverhampton. You can check out the show notes for links and any more information. If you have any stories or news, you can email me via chris@wcrfm.com. And that's it for this episode, and I look forward to you joining me next time on the Chris Allen Podcast.
For more information about WCR podcasts, go to wcrfm.com/podcasts.